This is an Alliance podcast.
What's up, world?
Yeah, you can't be doing that. Like, I wasn't prepared for that.
Oh, my fault.
What's good, people?
I mean, I'm still tired. How are you doing?
I'm so exhausted. I just drank coffee just to be able to get through this episode.
Anyway. I refuse to drink coffee because I want to go to bed after this.
Okay, so. But anyway, this is Sky here from the Southwest Atlanta. You know, the 404, currently Southern California with the beach decor. Guess I'm blessed. With the finesse, even with the stress in the wild, wild west. And I'm with who?
This is your girl, Sills, from VA All Day, two up to now. You know what it is. I don't have anything clever this week. I'm here in the PNW. Work is kicking my butt, and we have all collectively had about 5 hours of sleep. So I'm here, though. I'm ready. Let's go.
Hey, what's good? And we are the Shea Butter SD podcast, or we're a podcast.
Yes.
Featuring two black women's perspectives on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin.
Lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things black women.
And so this week, we're going to get into our latest installment of the SBF Soccer School. We're going to talk formations.
Yes. And then we're going to talk about the NWSL, the week of action. And we're going to talk probably longer than we want to about the group stages of the Olympic tournament and give you our superlatives.
Oh, yeah. And then we're going to open the SBFC library. Because, again, in another week, we don't know how to act.
Like, as we record this, y'all are being foolish. So, yeah. So we got to do that. But as always, we will end by bringing you our hits and riffs and rants and raves of the week. It'll probably just be raves and we need it.
Right. And so let's get this thing going.
Yeah, let's get this done.
So this week for SBF Soccer School, we're going to talk formations because this is important, particularly as we talk to some of the foolishness that happened by the U.S. Women's National Team in the Olympic tournament. So, historically, initially, we talked about the 4-3-3 formation where you had four individuals on the back line in front of the goalkeeper.
Yes.
And three individuals in the midfield.
Yes.
And then three individuals on the front line.
Correct.
Well, I mean, that's a classic formation, but typically in modern times, things change because you need to attack a certain way. You need to defend a certain way.
Yes.
So some prevalent formations that were in some of these NWSL games and then in the tournament.
Yes.
Was the 4-4-2.
Yes.
Where you have a fullback, center back, fullback, and then you have four midfielders. Effectively.
Yes.
Or it could be the wingers. It varies, whatever. But you have four people in the midfield and then you have two people playing up top.
Right.
Attacking players.
And then for the 4-4-2, you can have a 4-4-2, what they call flat, which is the four people in the midfield will basically be in a line. You might like cheat the two wingers up just a little bit. Or you can do what, say, North Carolina Courage tends to do, which is they play a 4-diamond-2. So literally the four midfielders, you have the holding midfielder who's like tucked to the back line. You have your two wingers out wide. And then you have the front of the diamond acting as a 10, basically, in order to distribute the ball to the front.
Wait, so don't they usually call that a 4-2-2-2?
Yeah, 4-2-2-2 or 4-diamond-2. It's roughly the same. It just depends on, I guess, how people are writing that down tactically.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, North Carolina plays a 4-2-2-2, but sometimes they play those twos flat. So it's the same. It doesn't look like a diamond. But yeah, you have that.
And then you have the other formation. That's the 3-5-2.
Yes. My drink.
It's beloved. It's wonderful.
It's wonderful. Shout out to Courtney. It's her favorite formation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So basically you have three people in the back. I'm not even going to give positions. It's three people. three people, whoever, three defender like individuals in the back, whatever that means, whether it's two center backs and a defensive mid who drops back, or it's a fullback, two center backs, two fullbacks and a center back, whatever combination, defenders, people of defense. Then you have five people in the midfield, and this can be historically forwards and midfielders, whatever, but the point is to congest the midfield. Yes. And then you have two people up front to attack.
Yes.
But normally in these kind of formations that you see people flip back and forth across multiple formations.
Yeah.
But the point of having the five in the midfield is to provide support to either line. So you can either help attack or you can help defend.
I think a good example, I believe Spain's been running a 3-5-2 recently. I think I've seen that in a couple of their friendlies, and which makes sense because they have world-class midfielders and slightly above Jenny Hermosa and then a bunch of other strikers. And that's not a knock. Spanish football typically does not have strong strikers, men's or women's. That's just not how they play. That's not their philosophy. So it's not a knock. It's just one way to play soccer. So yeah, you have those formations. I think we'll mention the 3-4-3 later on. So those are just some of the formations. And I would argue particularly 4-4-2 and 3-5-2 are a bit more attack minded, depending on how you're executing that. But it can also turn into a block. I guess we'll explain blocks another day, like sitting and playing defense.
Or the horrible, or the what I hate with a passion is the 4-5-1.
Yeah. Which is super defensive. Yeah.
And we may see that later. We'll talk about that. Why?
Yeah, it depends. It depends on what a team's strengths are and what they need to get accomplished, particularly in like knockout tournament type settings. So it's always a possibility. And just quickly before we end soccer school, I did mention, because we had an indirect free kick this weekend, just explaining what that is. So what happened was in the Orlando OL Reign game, a defender passed the ball back. And when that happens, the goalkeeper cannot use their hands, even inside the box, to save the ball. And that's what happened. So an indirect free kick is from the spot that the penalty or the foul occurred. It's not a penalty. You're allowed to take a free kick inside the 18-yard box. And you have to hit it off of another player. So you can't take that kick directly to the net.
Right.
And that's what happened if you want to see that play. But that's one of the few ways to get an indirect free kick. And as you can see, it's very rare.
And it used to drive me insane when I was playing goalie, if my defensive player in front of me did that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I got to kick it with my foot. And yeah, that might not end well. So.
Yes. So that, I just wanted to make sure we cover that, because I did promise we would touch on that briefly.
You being a good professor.
You know, I do school. I do school.
You do though.
I'm sure that's very reassuring to the parents of all the students that I'll have coming soon. But yes, so with that, we'll do a little more next week, but this is a jam-packed episode, so we're gonna hop right into the NWSL action for the week.
Yeah, we're about to fly. So the first game of the week was the North Carolina Underdog Courage playing the Kansas City NWSL situation. And so
the new look North Carolina Courage in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, because by the way, they traded people. So North Carolina traded Katie Hamilton. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Kristen Hamilton.
No, Kristen Hamilton.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. And
Mace. Oh, my God.
Mace. I lost and one other name. Player.
Their backup goalkeeper.
Goalkeeper. Additionally, some other stuff to get Amy Rodriguez.
A-Rod, yeah.
So that happened one day, and the next day they played a game. Which the next day also Jessica McDonald and one other player I think couldn't play because Jessica got COVID.
Yes, there were two positive COVID. I probably would have just said everybody was in protocol, but that's me. But we had two positive tests on the Courage. It was announced that Jessica McDonald was one of them, and I cannot remember who the other individual was. I should probably learn that, so J-Mac's not out there by herself. But they also came in contact, and so several people had to be in protocol. So I believe there were four people on the North Carolina bench.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It was very sparse.
Very sparse.
And Amy Rodriguez started because they didn't have any players.
But yeah.
So
it was like, surprise, guys.
Hey, welcome.
And then, but at the same time, Kansas City had a bunch of people hurt. So no Jessica Silva.
Yeah.
No LaMonta. Yeah. None of their star players. Yeah, so probably losing Amy Rodriguez. So then that meant Kristen had to play and everybody had to play. Everybody who got traded, they played.
Pretty much. Yep.
Surprise. So this game was actually really fun to watch. It was the most competitive I've seen Kansas City all season.
Yeah.
Without them having an offensive identity. And particularly Kristen Hamilton was like driven, was trying to create goals, driving goals.
She had visions. She was doing well, and I think she was hunting for a goal, and it just didn't come. Dorian Jenkins also had some really good chances.
Yes.
And was getting into space. So I would argue I thought Kansas City was the better team for long spells. North Carolina did have some good spells. But again, you can forgive them for missing so many people, including a lot of their goal scorers between COVID trade and the Olympics. So, but it ended up being a 0-0 draw, which was worthwhile. North Carolina, I think, is still toward the top of the table. And Kansas City hadn't had a point in a while. So
they got a point.
So they got a point. Yeah.
And Kiki Pickett balled, and we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what she looks like going forward.
So the next game was the Orlando Pride versus the homies, Oil Rain.
Oil Rain, yes. So fun fact, I got to write about this match afterwards.
What did you tell us what happened?
So in this match, we'll go ahead and give you the score line. Oil Rain 1-2-0.
Wait, y'all got a W? Wow.
I know. Score two goals, too. We have to score two, apparently, because if it's one, we don't win. but, I mean, honestly, we were the better team for the majority of this match. Once again, Orlando still lacking a midfield. Also, fun fact, this is the first game in NWSL history where two interim coaches coached against one another.
Right, because what happened?
I believe his last name is Green, was the interim coach for exactly one game, which was this game. For Orlando before going to join Mark Skinner, who will now be coaching the Manchester United women.
Wow.
So that happened pretty abruptly this week. And I believe the former University of Florida coach, two B's in her name, sorry. Her initials are BB. I know she's been a longtime coach and a very good one in women's soccer. So we're excited for that. Everybody's hiring women these days. Good on the league for that. Back to the game. Briefly, again, Orlando doesn't have a midfield, and so it's really hard for them to clog off anything coming through. And Oil Rain had their way, particularly on that left side, with Marzon basically just being able to feed it and let Jessica Fishlock run a little higher up. She's also able to get it to Ziara King, who was just moving and pressing. She won the ball back on a defensive play, got the ball to Fishlock, who did a meet-em-a-like turn, and got it in the back of the net. And then Ziara King actually got herself a goal, her first NWSL regular season goal with Oil Rain, off of a bomb that they got once again off of a turnover and a lovely back hill, went somewhere else with that, a lovely back hill for, Eugenie, Le Sommer, who had herself a game and did everything but score. So, hopefully we can string these performances together. I'm excited about the back line. That's starting to gel. It's really young, but it's really good. There's a lot of talent there, and you've got Lou Barnes sort of leading the charge there. But they looked very good this game. So, and poor Sid can't serve herself. And even then, she got an offside call that wasn't offside. So,
right. She had a goal, y'all.
It was a goal. I can fully admit that. She took advantage of God bless Sarah B, coming off the line. It's a ride with her. I gotta love Sarah B, but it's a ride.
It wasn't bad this time.
She's starting, I think, to adapt a bit, which is very admirable considering she's played that way as goalkeeper for well over a decade. She has, I think, adapted a little bit. She's always going to take risk. It's always going to be a journey, but she's adapted a bit to the game. So we'll see what the rest of the season looks like. So hopefully Orlando's new coach will bring them some stability.
Oh yeah. And her name is Becky Burley.
Thank you. Burley. I was like, is it Burley? Burley? I don't know how to say it. Those teams have come closer together in the table, and there's going to be a lot of movement in these next couple of weeks for sure.
And so after that, there was the Houston versus Portland situation where Sophia Smith scored in the first minute.
And that was it.
Portland won and beat Houston 1-0.
Yeah.
It was kind of a physical game. And
yeah, it was violent. I thought Simone Charlie had a good game, right? Again, little bit of question about Portland's finishing ability to put more goals away when they have so many opportunities. I don't know if that'll switch on for them or not. But Sophia Smith seems to be rounding into form, and Simone Charlie's rounding into form. That young front line seems to be getting it done. I know Morgan Weaver's hurt, but she was in form as well. So, I mean, Portland is who we thought they were. They just probably aren't finishing as well as we would like them to. Right. But another day, another win for Portland.
They get a W. Three points. So then next was Gotham versus Chicago. Oof,
talk about a bloodbath.
That was a bloodbath in the heat of what is with
the Red Bull
global warming. Global warming. Wasn't in Gotham. It was in
New Red Bull Arena. Yeah, Red Bull Stadium.
But it was hotter than hell. Gotham ended up winning 2-1. Allie Long and Midge Purse scored. Then Doniak scored, and then
on the last play, basically
on the last play. Yeah. And then St. George of Chicago got booked.
Now has two red cards on the season. She's been kicked out of two games. And I feel like every other red card just about has been rescinded. But she has earned hers. This was an interesting game. Chicago's an interesting team.
Chicago needs a finisher.
Yeah, they need a second finisher. They need somebody who can get those passes from Malpeu and put it in the back of the net.
Because Malpeu was balling, but nobody was putting balls in the net. Nobody was putting any of those services in the net.
I don't see a world where right now Malpeu's not in your best 11 for the season. Yeah. So she had a game, but yeah, they've got to get some more attacking talent. But that defense is very good. We got to see Sarah Gordon versus Ifeanyi Onumanu this weekend. Good God, Sarah Gordon's good.
Yeah, that was a lot of... That's a new term we have. Shea butter, because we no longer say Shea on Shea.
Yeah, we don't want to feed that narrative. Yes.
Yeah. So we now have Shea butter furniture moving. It was a lot of furniture moving on the field because her and Iffy were getting into it.
And Iffy is very hard to shut down, right? Like Iffy has a great combination of like on the ball skills, speed. She reads the pitch. She reads the game well. So she makes good passes. She makes good decisions, not all the time, but she makes good decisions more often than not. And she works incredibly well with Midge Purse. And Sarah Gordon's having none of it.
Yep. She shut stuff down. Like the first time she shut something down, I was like, oh, okay. But when she chased down Iffy and then cut off the ball and kicked it out, I was like, oh, she got to be in camp, man.
And so what I'm saying to you is, yes, that sort of second tier of Chicago defenders, right? Because they're missing Casey Krueger, Alyssa Nair, and Tierna Davidson, who we'll talk about later. But that defense doesn't really seem to miss a beat. And that defense is anchored by Sarah Gordon. And in a world where the national team swears we don't have any right back, Sarah Gordon is right there.
Right there, balling.
She's right there. She's everything you want in a right back. And so I would maybe take another look. I know she was in camp within the last year, but I would maybe bring her back.
Bring her in for the cycle. Make it all
but Chicago. But Chicago's defense, those were the two best defenses playing each other this week. Yeah. So that Chicago, Gotham, that Gotham defense still manages to, Estelle made a play this week. Woo!
Yeah.
It was a ridiculous tackle. Those defenses are ridiculously good.
Breaks.
And they happen to be very black and brown, just putting it out there.
Hey,
And then, but yeah, so 2-1, but both those teams, I think, are still in playoff contention. So
yes.
All good. And then the last game of the NWSL week was Rossing Louisville versus Washington Spirit. And
Spirit
that was
one.
Yeah. 2-0. Yeah. A 2-0 scoreline. A bit of contact in this game for sure.
Yes.
It
was WWE. Yes.
It was a little bit. The goal scorers for Washington were Ashley Hatch in like the fifth minute.
Yes.
It's very early. And then Staub, who, fun fact, should not have been in this game, had her red card not been rescinded. as it should have been, by the way.
Yes,
it was a bad red card. But she ended up scoring the second goal. So, hey, life works out that way sometimes. We going to start talking about the Spirit front line, yeah?
Yeah, they were doing the thing.
They are. So in terms of young front lines, the Spirit might be figuring it out a little quicker than Portland.
Yep. They got it together faster.
They might be figuring it out. And are we supposed to say this? That Washington defense doesn't look worse with its two expensive.
They look pretty good.
With their two most expensive defenders out.
Yes.
On international duty.
Causing problems. Yes.
That. Hello, Tegan McGrady. Hello. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Tegan McGrady was balling.
Everybody absolutely ballin'. Stepped in. So all the free Tegan crowd, shout out to Riss and all of them. Yeah. They were correct. Tegan McGrady has flawlessly stepped in to that role. I'm not so sure I'd move her.
She needs to be there.
Shit. Yeah. So they did a very good job of shutting down Ebony Salmon, who generates a decent amount of the offense for Louisville. And it took them a while to bring on the return of Nadia Nadim.
Nadia Nadim!
To the NWSL. But Nadia Nadim came on in the second half. And actually, I thought she was really lively, had a lot of chances. Right. Well, not a lot of chances, but was creating a lot, got a lot of movement, was on the ball quite a bit. So I thought she had a great game. And shout out to Tine for Gotham. I thought she had an excellent game as another international coming in for this.
Yes.
For
the Oh.
So Louisville's gonna have to figure out attack. They had some spells on the ball, but they gotta figure out how to get Ebony Salmon free. And quite frankly, I would start playing her. Kaiser had a good game, but like I would start playing her with other speedy people like an Ekage or a Bakum or something like that.
And is Jorian hurt?
She wasn't on the bench yesterday, so I'm not sure if that's a resting thing. I don't know if she has a slight knot and they don't want to risk it. I'm not sure. I didn't see anything about that post game.
Yeah, because it's like, and then even taking time to bring on Shayna Matthews.
Yeah,
like,
who I thought was good when she came on.
Right. So it's like, he's got to figure out his rotation. Now that you introduced Nadia, and then like he got to figure it out. Other than that, Andy Sullivan was good. Balling.
Still good.
Was a great six. Actually, that's a good segue.
Are we going right into it? All right.
Yeah, we're going right into it. Andy Sullivan was balling for the Washington, D.C. Spirit. As we close out the NWSL and we head into the Olympic group stage matches.
Yes.
Where we're going to get into extensive depth on the U.S. Women's National Team's performance.
Okay.
So how do we want to do? Do we just jump in?
I mean, we might as well jump in. I would say you're probably going to speak more on the first game. We see it slightly differently, but I feel like the tone of USA fandom right now is y'all down bad. So I'm going to let Sky give y'all some hope today.
I'm gonna give y'all some hope. So the U.S. Women's National Team. So first of all, from here on out episodes, we're not going to predict no more scores for no games.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you know what? When we predicted the last score, we said that U.S. should beat the crap out of Sweden because they learned their lesson. The flip side, the part we probably didn't say on the podcast is if they don't learn their lesson, they're going to get embarrassed. And let's bring it to what happened in the group stage. So the United States play Sweden, and they end up losing 3-0 in their first match. And a lot of it came out because they came out flat. I think even before we start, the Olympics is being played in Tokyo.
Yes.
Which is highly humid and it's hot. And
there was a typhoon at some point.
Yeah. But I think the biggest thing people need to understand in part of all this and why there's rotation and why you shouldn't be playing your people, your same players every game is because they're effectively playing in what's like playing in a sauna. And I know some people live in places where it's not humidity and heat like this. Right. But if you lived in like a Miami, if you lived in like New Orleans,
right,
Indiana, if you lived in like Tallahassee,
right,
Florida, a super swampy area,
yeah,
it is horrible. Even if you were super fit to run the equivalent of what soccer players do is like 7, 8 miles, 10, depending on what you're doing, in a game where you're running in that, where you're running in heat, you feel the heat, but you're like inhaling heat. And it's not comfortable. So there's a layer of mental capacity you got to have, but you also got to consider that when you do rotations. So that's important.
And so, also they're playing every third day, which is not normal.
Yeah. So they're only getting 2 days of rest.
Yeah.
You normally play one game a week or two games a week at max.
Most, yeah.
And then normally then you have rotation, but you're playing every other day, every 2 days.
Right.
Which is a lot. And that's a cumulative effect if you play in the heat. Like it's cool first game, it's cool second game. Third game, you start feeling it and it impacts and accumulates over time.
Right.
Because you don't have the rest. So this is important. Because the United States came out flat. And, you know, they played Sweden earlier this year in April. Is that April? Yeah.
Yeah, it was April.
And they basically came out to a draw at that. In that game, you had Lynn Williams playing, not Tobin Heath. You had Carly Lloyd playing centrally. And then you had, was Kelly O'Hara playing right back?
Probably.
Yeah, because
she drew the foul. Yeah.
You had a lot of the same players, but you didn't have Lindsey Horan playing the six.
No.
But some important things that happened in that game that need to be noted. Aslani, who plays for Sweden, was put on the pitch to effectively chase down Lindsey Horan,
yes,
wherever she went. And then Sweden's game plan in the first game was to overload the entirety of the left side to prevent it from cooking, to prevent Crystal Dunn, Lindsey Horan, and Kristen Press from interweaving with each other and, yes, causing offense. Because they didn't have to worry about the right side, because the right back situation was so atrocious that a Lynn Williams and Rose Lavelle would have to drop in. It wasn't the same potency, but the whole offense was running through the left side. And so in the first game, they expended energy overloading everybody on the front side. So it was equal distribution, take Kristen out of the play, prevent banging to Lindsey and prevent her from moving anywhere, and then attack Crystal Dunn whenever you want to. Yeah. Additionally, you had Julie Ertz playing. She's playing in April. Yeah. And so, yeah, you had a defensive mid to protect. So, yeah, they scored a goal on a set piece, but nothing else really happened. And then we ended up scoring on a set piece later. No, was it a set piece? Did we score on a set piece? How did we score? However we scored later, we scored and we drew.
No, we scored on a penalty.
A penalty. Okay. Yeah.
A dubious one, but yeah.
Yeah. But so this is important, because even if everybody wasn't there, even if you're missing a Tobin Heath, even if you don't have a healthy Alex Morgan, even if everybody is there, Sweden flashed something different for the first time, where they had a strategic plan to exploit the weaknesses of the United States. And so one thinks that, hello, Vlacko, let's prepare for this, because if, yeah, you see them, you can't do this. And so basically the bigger thing is, don't run a 4-3-3 and not press. Well, I figured that they were never going to press, or they would do it on and off. But I figured from the jump, because they're in the group stages, they were never going to do their full pitch press, high pressing crap, because they want to conserve energy because, yeah, it is so freaking hot. Well, what I wasn't prepared for them to do is to run this 4-3-3 to, for real, use Lindsey Horan as the six.
Yeah.
And bring in Tobin Heath. Okay, fine. Use Alex Morgan as a nine. Then you had Sam Uys,
you Roosevelt, had Sam and Rose, yeah.
And then Lindsey Horan was the six. And then you had Crystal, Abby, Becky,
and Kelly. Yeah.
And so while that might sound well and good, that's a problem, because you're running and playing a team that's going to run they seemed like they was running a 4-3-3, but they ended up running a 3-4-3.
Yeah.
Where they purposely clogged the midfield. And actually, Aslani was going anywhere Lindsey Horan was.
Yeah.
So they changed their game plan a little bit, but it was powerful, because what they had happened, because Lindsey Horan was playing the six, Aslani still was dealing with her, but she then was following everywhere Lindsey Horan goes and was becoming an extra defender to whatever lanes it was going. And so if you've been paying attention to these past games, Lindsey Horan has been acting as she has been a six, has been acting as an eight and 10, even though she's, yeah, a freaking six. And so as a result, when you have Aslani already drifting to the area with Lindsey Horan, she was then helping all the defenders and midfielders in the areas where then she was drifting into the lanes of where Roosevelt and Tobin Heath acted. So where you would have seen the difference with Tobin Heath in this whole thing, because Tobin Heath can run all over the field, she was getting jammed and pushed out, similar to Kristen Press, from actually drifting back and helping in the fullbacks. That's a problem, because then effectively Lindsey Horan's movements inadvertently jammed the whole midfield. And so the midfield really didn't have support. The midfield couldn't service the front line. Alex Morgan was having to defend also, which is crazy. And then instead of trying to attack Kristen and Samantha Mewis, they decided Sweden was just going to overload the fullback fullback in Crystal Dunn.
Yeah, which I'll interrupt. So that's actually a compliment. right? I would argue it is for Lindsay to an extent, right? Yes, not as a six, but in general, because they did it in April too. They like they had a funny shadow her, and it worked.
They do the offense ran through her, and the defense runs through. It starts with Crystal.
Effectively, what they did was they saw the She Believes cup, and they understood that the best side was the left side.
Yep.
Right. So if you clog that, the right side at that time, and you could argue now, because we've discussed the right back since we started this podcast, right? Like they know the rest of the world knows exactly the personnel we're bringing. And so instead of trying to exploit the right side, which I think we would have had cover for because we're used to it, they went after the best player.
Yeah.
And Crystal Dunn.
And they purposely overloaded her with multiple players. And so people might be like, why did they do that? Because if you inundate her, and while in the beginning she was able to get passes and break it off and get out of trouble, when you do it, as I tell people, you can only defend so much. But if you're dealing onslaughts every minute, every other, like every 2 minutes,
right?
There's only so many things you can stop. And so
she's not superhuman. She's not.
Yeah, yeah. So what ended up happening is she ended up either making a bad pass or she would kick the ball out, but then a Sweden player would appear.
Right.
And so she is your best defender. You just took her out of the whole play from getting support and help.
Yep.
The other portion of the left side is already congested with other people. You've now effectively gone in the back door of the defense, and you can either force them. So wait a minute. Sweden doesn't really have any good attackers.
I mean, so they, I would say
they have one.
Blackstonians is who I would trust.
Yes.
On that team. Yes.
But it's important because what they were trying to do was effectively either force a mistake from Crystal Dunn that could generate a chance on goal, but more importantly, set up a set piece. Because the United States has horribly been defending set pieces. And so if you do enough set pieces, no matter how good you are, you're going to make a mistake. And something's going to open up because you're going to get jittery and somebody's going to score. And so effectively, that's what started to happen. The first goal happened when it was a beautiful goal. I can't remember. Was that Blackstenius?
Yeah, Blackstenius got two of them.
She scored the first goal. That was a pretty ball. That literally came because you didn't have a midfield effectively due to their attack game plan.
Yeah.
The ball, they got depossessed up front and then it went flying back immediately into the back, into the box for the US.
Right.
And it was a beautiful shot on goal. And that was number one.
Yeah. And that was it for the first half.
Yeah, that was it for the first half. And so big thing with this game is the United States wasn't freaking out. They came out flat, but you could see where their game plan, they weren't prepared for them to be playing in a 3-4-3.
Yeah.
4-3. They didn't have Julie Ertz was not supposed to play in this game.
Nope. But
because it was such a disaster. And then particularly in the case of Sam Ewis, she wasn't dropping back to help Crystal Dunn.
Yeah, that was a problem.
I don't know what the issue is that in terms of communication.
So I think particularly if we're going to play Julie going forward, which seems to be the case, bionic leg and all, I think you can't play left. You can't play Sam on the left. You're gonna have to rotate her randomly. Like you can't.
Right.
God forbid I give this woman a compliment, but I think Jill got that part right. Like she understood there are games for Horan, there are games from US.
And so this is important because Sam wasn't dropping back, and a part of it is she doesn't play on the left. And even in this game,
no, she plays on the left, but not with Crystal.
What? Yeah, so I think the issue was she was really trying to figure out what Kristen was doing and trying to get that chemistry, but she wasn't doing her responsibilities and coming back and helping Crystal. And part of it was by design. Like, they were blocking up her getting back there. That was on purpose. And so, as a result, she seemed more like the liability. But the problem is, at the end of the first half, she started to understand Sweden can't handle lateral movements, bizarrely, and they can't handle people running in slants and horizontally. So they were getting all taken aback, and she was taking the ball off of them like a six should, actually. And she was moving forward. And as a result, her and Rose towards the end of the first half in particular had opportunities to score. Rose should have gotten a goal right in stoppage time in the first half. But the lateral movement of both of them caused a lot of problems for Sweden. However, because she wasn't helping in the way Blacko took her out, then moved Lindsay to the left. But all that did was make the problem even worse because now Aslani was appearing over there with the rest of the defenders. And then they were still inundating Crystal. Although this time, though, so he made the change. He took out Sam. He brought in Christy.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, no. He kept him. No, not yet.
No, he took out Sam.
He took out Sam. He brought in Julie Ertz.
Mm-hmm.
He moved Lindsay to the left.
And then he took out Alex Morgan.
Alex Morgan, because Alex Morgan was getting frustrated and she wasn't coming into the box. And part of it was by design, by if you run back and defend, you won't get back in transition to come. And so Kristen can't serve you if she gets free, nor can Tobin. And so she got replaced by Carly Lloyd. And so what ended up happening in the second half is actually that's when stuff started opening up, because Julie Ertz brought stability because she wasn't getting punked on her one leg. And then she was effectively helping Crystal. And then to that point, Lindsay was trying to do some stuff, but still, she was still getting bodied by Aslani.
Aslani might be in that girl's head.
But more importantly, what was happening is the movement of what eventually became when they brought in Megan Rapinoe. Megan Rapinoe started, she saw what was going on. It was moving laterally and moving in zigzag patterns that she got free. And so she was able to move and get in between people. And she actually set up a beautiful attempt at goal with Kristen, who should have kicked that into the net because it was open. And then you had other things happening where the defenders were going, oh, Kristen's over here. Kristen and Carly were sliding in behind them. And they'd be caught up by the looks of whatever Megan Rapinoe was doing. And then she would dime something backwards and they could go kick at net. Or Carly Lloyd would come through and pick off something in the midfield and run up the field and try to kick it. But stuff wasn't going in the box. And so when I looked at this game the second time, I saw this game multiple times just to see what the hell was going on. And I'm not bothered in terms of what's happening with the United States, particularly in that game, is because long story short, they had, for as bad as they played, this was one of those games that you have where nothing's going right. You can't, you play horribly, you pass horribly, you get the tactics wrong. You come out flat. The United States was due. You lose a game. Yeah. But what was even worse is they weren't able to connect and score. You have these games, even the greatest teams, they have them. Unfortunately, all the bad shit happened at the same time. But what was incredible in the second half is they had enough opportunities that, in fact, Kristen Press and Carly Lloyd should have had two goals each, because they literally, on separate occasions, arrived into the box and were right in front of goal, just kicked the ball in the net that they missed for whatever reason. And if they kick those, four is greater than three and they win this game. And so why I've never bothered about what happened in the first game is because for as bad as they played, they still should have won this game. And Sweden isn't as good as people think, because they really had issues handling lateral movement. The biggest frustration is, like, why wasn't there a press or something to try to dismantle things? But I think everybody looked such a mess. It was like, well, just take it and eat it.
And I think there was legitimate exhaustion. I think Sweden pulled them out wide. So I don't think Jakobsen's job was to score, though Crystal Dunn had a really good tackle to save that goal. I think her job was to tire them out. And she can do that well. Again, somebody who roots for Real Madrid, not necessarily who I trust with my life to finish a goal. Same with Aslani, which is part of why she was deployed to simply mark Lindsay Horan.
Yes.
Like 10 years ago, I would have been scared of Aslani. It doesn't look the same now, and that's fine, but that's the truth. I think Sweden is a better team. I think as a team, they work well together. I think they're well coached.
Yes.
I mean, we've all said there's no fear there, right?
No.
They had been sitting on that since April. They simply built on what had been put in place, and Flacco didn't counter it. He got out coached. He's been out coached, I would argue, twice, and it's been by the Swedish coach both times.
Right.
So he's got to figure out, right, and get his ego in check.
So I think part of it was they thought, I could see where he thought so many things were different in April that he thought he could get away with it. But make no mistake, he actually has a game plan to beat Sweden and cause Sweden mad problems.
There's ways to beat Sweden.
They did it before. They did it the very first game.
The very first game he played.
In his tenure. Yes,
which we did not play a 4-3-3. So
we didn't play a 4-3-3. So that's part of it. First off, I guess if we're going to talk about any tactical adjustments to play, because we probably will run into Sweden again, maybe.
Well, if we do, it'll be in the it'll be for the gold medal.
Yeah, if we do, you one can't play in a 4-3-3. You probably need to play a 3-5-2. And Crystal Dunn has to come into the midfield, and you actually need to put on fullbacks who are fullbacks in the place. So and we, Tierna, Casey, like
we have the talent. We have the talent to do it. And the truth of the matter is, if we line up and say, even if we did a 4-4-2, Sweden struggles with speed because even against Australia, they struggle with Sam Kerr.
So even when they play,
speed kills them. I've seen Kristen Press run box to box and score on them. Like they're not fast. They're quick, but they're not fast.
Yeah. And so even when they played Australia, because I watched them play the Australia game, Australia was hyperly similar to when they played in the third game we will talk about. They were not organized. And so that is the only reason they didn't score more points than Sweden. And Sweden won 4-2. Off of some bad goalkeeping also. But they could not handle their lateral movements. I was so tripped out about it. And I was like, the United States has to do this next time. And what also what Australia was doing is they were switching various people flying into the box. So people, they were sent 2-3-1 into the box to try to score. And, you know, they would do that. But one thing they could do, lastly, they could, like, the United States could do the next time they play Sweden is they could switch formations. So they could use a 3-2 back and go back and forth between that for defensive sake. But they need to interchange how people move from the front line to the midfield. They did it the first time they played them. It caused Sweden to be really fucked up. If they do this again in the championship game, they'll win the gold medal.
I think you just need to pull people out wide. I would definitely move Crystal Dunn up to the midfield, right? So in a place where they can't necessarily shut her off.
Right.
And I would maybe start Lynn just to be able to pull that defense out wide, right? Because if you have Lynn Williams on the right and Kristen Press on the left, that's a level of speed they cannot defend. 1v1.
Yeah, they can't do it.
Not 1v1.
Because even when Lynn Williams played in April, they could not stop her. So what they had to do was literally get four people to try to ride her out of the box. She just had nobody to dime it back to. And so even with Kristen Press, they can't stop her. They have to try to ride her out the box to try to effectively force like a wall so she can't get the ball.
It's not even that. They kill the pass in so that she doesn't even get the ball.
Yeah,
like, that's the point. How they do that.
Yeah, that's how they do it. But if Kristen gets the ball and is going wild and free, she will run through their stuff, barring no.
You've got to, that defense is compact and they put four in that midfield. You've got to pull them out wide. Like, if you pull them out wide, that's what the lateral movement is. Like, if you pull them out wide, they aren't quick enough. And so if you're taking them 1v1, this is why we should have bought a certain player that we didn't bring, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Ooh.
If you pull them out, they can't, 1v1 is hard for them. They might get a few wins, but they're not going to be able to do that for 90 and they're going to get tired.
Yes.
Because that's how that works. So, yeah.
So that's if we play Sweden again. But then the next game, they righted their ship in game two where they played.
Yeah.
I'm about to call them the New Netherlands.
No,
the
Ferns.
New Zealand Ferns.
Yeah, I think they're the Ferns.
So in this next game, I could see. So Lekko, like I said, was going to do no matter what happened. This is the group stage. The world is
there.
While everybody was doomsdaying, this is a group stage.
Yeah.
Tournament, y'all. Like, you don't die because you lose.
Right.
So the next game was a must win, but they're playing New Zealand. And literally, this team has not played in 16 months together. They barely got their two stars of their team on defense back like a week ago. And so he had intended on resting players. And in arrogance, he rotated players. As he was going to anyway. So he effectively rolled out the B squad to play New Zealand. The big thing about this game is they needed to make a goal differential so they ensured that they were number two in the group. And they needed to win. And so they rolled out here with Tobin Heath, Carly Lloyd, Megan Rapinoe. Is that right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, that was it.
Rose playing?
Yeah, Rose scored.
Yes, she did. I'm tripping. Yeah. Rose, Lindsay again. Wow.
And Sam? No.
No, it was Lindsay. Lindsay, Rose, and then it was Julie.
Yeah.
Or
he started. He started Julie.
Yeah, and then after that, behind them. Wait, did Sam play? Maybe Sam played first, and then he brought in.
I actually can't remember. It was too early in the morning.
Yeah. And then in the back line, he had Crystal.
Crystal, Tierna. Crystal Tierna. Abby.
Abby. Yes.
And then Emily.
And Emily. Okay. Yeah. That's right. He rested Becky.
Yes.
He rested Kristen Press. He rested Alex Morgan.
Yes.
He put Casey Krueger on the bench. Hey, Olympian.
Yes.
And brought in also Katarina Macario.
Yes.
Emily Sonnet played this game, right?
Yeah. I said, yeah, you were right. We said she was a right back.
She was a right back. So Kelly was not playing. So in this game, in the first half, it was kind of spastic because they were like, you know, word on the street is they was in the locker room like, we're going to fuck them up.
Yeah. I mean, they needed to do that. Anger seems to work, which we'll touch on when we talk about the third game.
But they were hyped up. So yeah, initially it was kind of erratic, but eventually they got into the scene and Rose scored the first goal. But then you had a whole set of own goals where it should have been, honestly, at the half, it should have been 6-0. But everything was my own goals, but everybody was offsides. Carly Lloyd was offsides, not one, not two, but three times. And then other people were offsides. So there was a lot of frustration because it was like, what's onsides, what's offsides? But baby, when you 2 yards offsides,
yeah,
you're offsides. But they went in at the half one. Were they up 1-0?
No, they got a late second goal in stoppage, I think. Lindsay
had scored a goal. Yeah. So they were up 2-0 at half. In the second half, they played a little bit more until then Abby Erskine ended up having us on goal.
Yeah.
Like, keep it real, Tobin Heath pushed her into the goal with the ball. Yeah. And it is what it is. The ball
and Abby Erskine's had a rough week. So
he's had a rough week.
Bless her.
But then it was 3-0. And then around that time, Kristen Press, Alex Morgan, Katarina Macario, Casey Krueger came in. And the game elevated because Kristen generated a goal about 7 minutes later.
Scored the first, assisted.
By Sam. Julie.
Julie assisted hers, and then not too long after that, Kristen Press got an assist.
Yes,
Alex Morgan, and then
Kristen Press is on one, y'all. If you didn't know, the goal guide. I was like, in game one, I needed Kristen to elevate to the next level, and she was trying to. She just couldn't score. But in this game,
yeah,
she had gotten into it with the player, who she almost got carded. Right before the end of the game and right in stoppage time, they were up 5-1.
Yeah.
And she gets ridden out of the box and she looks back and she purposely kicks the ball in a way that if you're not in the way, it goes in the net because the goalkeeper can't get to it.
Yeah.
But she purposely hits it off of a player. So it's an on goal.
Yeah.
And she has this like maniacal kind of look on her face. It's not,
yeah, it was the like, best yeah. play. But if you go back and look at it, when she and it's a cross, it's not a shot because she actually kicks it slightly backwards.
Yeah.
Like there's no one running onto that path.
Yeah,
there's no one fast enough on the U.S. squad.
Yeah, it's purposeful.
Glenn Williams ain't on the field, so right. Like there's no one to get onto that pass. It's absolutely intentional. It's not the first time she's done it.
Yes.
And yeah, so it's a really nifty Ngazi shout out. ode, right, to how you get cheeky, how you get a point, right? It doesn't matter how it goes in the net, everything's worth 1 point. I could go about on another spiel about shooting on that in that regard, but yeah, it seemed like we got our confidence back. We put a lot of goals in the net, even again with like the 4 offsides calls,
right?
And so yeah, it got better. And then
and so it got to the point. So basically we ended up, so this is important. We ended up winning the game and then going in second place because like I said, Australia lost 4-2 and then had a -2 goal differential where we ended up with a +2 goal differential, 3 of which were generated by Crystal Press effects. So she did what she needed to do, y'all. So it was a 2+ goal differential. So at the freeze frame, the table, Sweden's 1, we're 2, Australia's 3. So there were many scenarios before game 3 where it was like the impossible has to happen. Japan has to win and China and Zambia have to win. But it was never clear in terms of the goal differential. Well, we didn't know this crap, but Australia's coaches and Vlatko knew So we go into game three, where effectively both teams play for a tie. And so all of us people woke up at the crack of ass of dawn to watch them play.
Yeah.
To basically park the bus, but all across the field. And so immediately it was clear Australia was just trying to go for a tie. They were slowly kicking balls. They were kicking balls back and forth with each other on every line. People were being dramatic. If a U.S. player put a finger on somebody, they were on the floor rolling. You know, an accidental kick means somebody hurt an ankle. You know, it was all kind of dramatics. What was even worse, the pitch was horrible because it had just rained. It had just monsooned because it's a typhoon over there. And so the pitch was bad. And then, you know, you could tell Australia wasn't trying to do nothing. They were just trying to possess and keep the ball away from the United States. At the same vein, the United States wasn't necessarily trying to press anything. They ran out there with most of their starting lineup, but they let Abby Dahlkemper rest, which didn't happen. Because she was messing up. So Tierner played. Kelly O'Hara was right back. Crystal left back. And then Becky Sauerbrunn was back in the mix. You had Julie again. You had Lindsay. Yes.
Yeah.
And Sam Uys. No. You didn't have Lindsay yet. Did you? No. You had Roosevelt, Sam Uys. And then you had Kristen, Alex, and Tobin.
No, you had Kristen, Alex, Megan start.
Megan yeah. Megan start. Yeah. And so it was interesting because it was like they were trying to go, but then they weren't trying to go. And then they weren't passing the ball well centrally. And then Australia is tired and disorganized. So it was just like a lot of chaos for large portions of the first half. And then the U.S. had chances. Alex didn't kick the goal that should have been a goal, but apparently she was offsides. And then you had other chances that were whiffs. Kelly O'Hara refused to pass the ball to Kristen Press and Roosevelt for whatever reason. And both of them two players in particular were just trying to go. They were trying to score. But the pitch was really, really bad to a point that there was an instance where Alex Morgan came running into the box and tried to kick and slipped and ended up bonking the goal she was trying to kick. So the goalkeeper stopped it. But then you had another instance where Kristen Press tried to kick, have bicycle kick a ball into the net. And Alana Kennedy was literally at the last second able to kick it away before she could kick her foot to the ball. And so it went flying out of the field of play. But the pitch was so bad, it was hard for them to plant. So you saw stuff where Kristen was trying to move, try to plant, and then if something kicked off weak. Same thing happened for Australia on the other side when they came into our box. Yeah, players trying to kick balls in nets and they couldn't get their feet together.
Yeah.
So it became effectively, even when they made all the substitutions in the second half, including Lynn Williams, it became just effectively just a park the bus, but the whole field situation.
Yeah.
And yeah. Julie Ertz led the direction of how the balls moved. And it was interesting hearing her say, don't pass the ball. You can see her go, don't pass the ball this way. Pass it that way. Da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. And then they hit it well. Australia hid how they were doing it, but they were doing the same thing on their lines. Like, no, don't pass it yet to the midfield. Now pass it to the midfield. And so it became clear nobody was trying to do anything. All the players for our U.S. Women's National Team were pissed off.
Yeah, they seemed very upset after the fact.
Yeah. But that was part of the plan. And I know a lot of people were pissed off about it, but what were they? Again, you got to understand the context of what's happening in this tournament. You're playing in the swamp.
Yeah.
You have to play six games in 2 weeks. So you got to rotate players. You can't just fake and throw a game on purpose loudly, but you don't want to expend energy. It took, for all the stats that everybody's complaining about was Australia having most of the possession. They had to do so much work and exert so much energy just for a tie. Well, the U.S. Women's National Team effectively was chilling on the field. Nobody got hurt. Nobody injured. And they played. And so Vlatko made it clear that was a part of the game plan to keep it professional.
Yeah.
But they threw the game. And it didn't matter because they were both going to the next stage either way. And you effectively also saw that with other teams where Brazil rested a bunch of their players against Zambia and only won 1-0. Mm-hmm. Great Britain and Canada didn't give two craps about who won the game at first, but then Canada scored out of the blue. And so they would have ended up winning the group or something. But so then Great Britain jumped back and scored. Whether or not they wanted to face the U.S., whatever, that kept them on the other side of the bracket where they run into a Sweden instead. And so, you know, you had people effectively using this last game across the board to be the rotating game to rest their players, because now you're in knockout stages.
Right.
So while everybody was pissed off, they're going to press. And so I think that's the bigger takeaway. This also, Vlatko is an asshole. And he kind of needed to do this too, to get them, to get their intensity.
Yeah, I think he, I think it's a little gamesmanship. Like it's a, poke them a little.
Yes.
I certainly hope so. And so, I don't know, I guess as we wind down on the group stages, like I'm frustrated, I'm not panicked really, but yeah, it'll be interesting going forward.
But most importantly, the United States is not scared of any of these teams.
No. And so, okay,
so because we got to stop the narrative. Well, I just tweeted something where I was like, United States is not scared, and I had some people make some comments, but it's like they're not scared of nobody. Y'all being real disrespectful.
I have an issue with, we haven't played anybody that's good.
Uh-oh, come on.
We played Spain, the Netherlands. We've played Sweden multiple times. We've played France. We have played Nigeria, which is good, and y'all don't seem to want to give them credit for that. I'm missing a big team. We played Brazil. We've played Canada. Like, we've played top 15 teams in the past year, since the pandemic really has started, mm-hmm. for the most part. And several of them we played in their own country, right? Woo! So it's been on the road. With most of the same lineup.
Yep.
So yes, we played Colombia. Yes, we played Argentina. Yes, we've played Portugal and Jamaica, but like we've also played top flight teams.
Right.
And we won those too. Or we drew those, right? In the case of Sweden in April. So the idea, I think recency bias is coming into play that we haven't actually played anybody is a very interesting way of looking at this. And two, the notion that CONCACAF is somehow astronomically worse than UEFA, because if you actually watch the qualifying tournaments for the European Championships next year for the women, those are routes too, right? Like it's not, like the bottom of the UEFA table is comparable, if not worse, than the bottom of the CONCACAF table, right?
Come on, so now.
That's one. Two, we might have gotten outplayed, but in the same way that most of the people on this Olympic 2021 squad are very similar to who played in 2019, so too is Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
And when we played each other in the group stage and it came down to winning, meaning you were going to have to take the harder path, the United States said, okay, we'll run through Spain, France, England, and the Netherlands. We'll take the hard way to win the World Cup. The other team didn't.
Well,
other team ducked that joint straight up.
They what ended up happening? What ended up happening?
No, they got the bronze, so it's not like they were completely rewarded for it. But we chose to take the hard path.
What?
Like, we didn't duck that.
Mm-hmm.
One of those teams did not duck that. The other one did. That's all I'm going to say. Now, whether that was the players, the coach, that ain't my business. But we didn't. So turning around and calling that same team punk seems a little harsh. And I can't believe y'all just made me defend some people I don't ever want to defend. But yeah, I just need to get that out. Y'all wildin'. Like, that ain't how this is.
Yeah, like, I don't understand it. Nobody's scared. Just because they have funky play, y'all got to understand, this is a part of tournaments. Like, they've been doing this. Some of y'all knew to this. They've done this in 2015.
Yeah.
They did it in 2019. They've done it in 2016. Every tournament, it's like people forget. You tune stuff out, because once somebody holds a World Cup trophy, they want to hold a gold medal, whatever medal, then you forget. But yeah, basically, ain't nobody scared of nobody. They can beat this team, even though they're missing Mitch Purse, Andy Sullivan.
Yes.
Sarah Gordon.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that they could to make our lives easier and be dominant so we could just tap our pillow and go to sleep. They are still better than most of the teams in this, all the teams in this tournament, or they have the talent more put together.
I don't
beat any team.
I don't think talent wise, like that, I don't think that's where the issue lies, but I do think there's something to playing as a team, playing cohesively. I think there are other teams that are doing that better right now. I think what's annoying about this team is, you know, it might work, it might not, but they're perfectly capable of turning it on. I do believe that. I think that's part of the arrogance, and that's a gift and a curse. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what it looks like Friday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern, 4 a.m. Pacific.
But prepare yourselves, because the fact that they parked the bus, they very well, because of the heat and they got to play 3 games effectively,
yeah,
might put a bunch of goals up. It better be 5 or 6, and then perfectively run a 4-5-1, and that's going to suck.
Prepare yourselves. I think, yeah, just possessing and attacking, it'll probably look a lot more like that. And the Dutch are capable of beating us, but we had a pretty good record against the Dutch. So
we probably will press them.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We will see what happens. We ain't gonna predict the score. Other than that, I guess we can we do some spoilers and talk about what else happened?
Yeah, we can go through quickly here. So we are running long. So yeah, we'll do spoilers. We're gonna do a mashup of the Olympics and the NWSL.
Yeah.
Just trying to give props to people and shouting out other teams as we go along. So for the NWSL Shea Butter Bomb, we have Midge Purse and Sophia Smith. Midge's was a penalty, Shea Butter Bomb, but those count all the same. And then for the Olympics, we have Marta and Davinia, delegation adjacent. And then Shanice Van de Sanden had a wonderful goal. I believe it was in the first game against Zambia, which we will talk about in just a second.
Yep.
Shea Butter Boom for NWSL, it's Ziara King. For the Olympics, it's probably not the first time you'll hear her name in the next few minutes, Barbara Banda, busting out the panda. Shea Butter Dime, I'm not sure there.
I don't think there was one.
Was one this week?
Nah.
Kings, I guess. Yeah, Kings was.
Okay, Kings.
To Fishlock, and then the Olympics. Yeah, Kristen Press had a very good assist to Alex Morgan.
Shea Butter and one.
Yeah, Ciara. Yeah, on Allie Krieger. That's not the first time this year that she's been in the highlight reel. And then in the Olympics, Davinia. Against the Netherlands, I think she megged somebody.
She megged multiple players.
Yeah, that was rough.
That was wild.
Shea Butter Brick is Sarah Gordon, Estelle Johnson, and Kristen Edmonds.
Yes.
Ballin. Yeah. Hat trick. I mean, she had 2 of them. Barbara Banda again.
Yep.
She's the first player in women's soccer in the Olympics to have 2 hat tricks in 2 separate games. Shea Butter Heat Check, Kiki Pickett.
Yep.
Nicely there at Kansas City.
Yes.
Shea Furniture Moving, we mentioned before, the Gotham versus Chicago game, particularly Sarah versus Effie.
Yep.
Shea Butter Get Your Fits Right. Gotham FC is just next level with it.
Truly. They came through. Hey, Mandy Freeman was Mandy good.
Coordinating her cane because she just had surgery, so we hope she gets well soon. Coordinating her cane with her outfit, just truly peak levels of fashion icons right there. And shout out to Estelle rocking the Crystal Dunn jersey with their support. And then our player of the week, Barbara Banda, bursting onto the stage, making money in China. So I don't know if she's coming to any of our little leagues over here.
Right. She big time.
Yeah, she's making money in China. She don't really need to play in any of the European leagues or the NWSL for that matter. But it's been great to see her, even though Zambia is not going on. It's been great to see a new star. Be born who's actually talented, and she's only 21, so she's got a whole career ahead of her. So that's what we got for the Olympics.
So that's it for now. When we come back,
yes,
we're gonna open the library.
All right, I think that sounds good,
because y'all don't know how to act.
We're gonna try to get through it quickly, but y'all did a lot this week, so yeah, we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Shit.
This week on the 40 Coaches Soccer Podcast for us, by us. But as this week, we talk about the love between Joseph and Darlington Nagbe. We talk about Simone Biles and Naomi Osaka at the Summer Olympics. And we talk about Kanye taking residency here at the Benz. Join me, Grego, Coach Tony, and TK on your favorite podcast apps and the FTC UTD YouTube channel.
Welcome back, y'all.
Welcome back.
So we're gonna open the library. I feel like we just did this.
Yes, we did.
So we're gonna try to get through this fairly quickly.
Lead us through, Pastor.
Okay. So several things happened this week. I might have missed a few just because a lot happened this week. So I just went in order of what I remember. I might not be actual order.
Yes.
So the first one. There was an ad for Olympic athletes that was a CBD therapeutics, I'm going to call that, called Mindy. And two of the faces of it are Megan Rapinoe and her sister Rachel, trans sister Rachel. But there were other athletes, I believe, that I saw in a separate ad as well. But they're partnering with the Olympic Games. And of course, this immediately raised eyebrows because Sha'Carri Richardson was famously suspended for 30 days which happened to coincide with the Olympics. So she's missed, her ban's actually just about up, but they did not allow her to run the relay for ingesting THC. THC and CBD for science purposes are not the same thing. So I just wanted to clear that up. Like, those are not the same things. Having said that, all marijuana laws are racist.
Come on now.
And THC should not be a banned substance. And Sha'Carri Richardson should be running in the Olympics.
Come on.
Listen. This is a Black podcast. We are Black women. We support Black business. We support Black folks, period. And I absolutely get my people's outrage at the hypocrisy of one strand of marijuana or deriving from a marijuana plant, however we're going to call it. Versus another one not happening and people having a business and profiting on it, off of it, I should say.
Come on now.
Now I'll be fair to this company. It existed before the Olympics. It's been since 2018, 2019. I'm not necessarily going to begrudge people for making money, particularly athletes who don't get paid a whole lot, though I would argue Rapinoe makes more than most. But I mean, famously, the United States women are in a lawsuit, and also we're about to talk about how little the NWSL actually pays as players. So who am I? Having said that, I think if you are going to be white and own a CBD company, you have to be hyper visible, hyper loud. You've got to be talking about the disparity every time. And the face of your company, you've probably got to try to make a Black athlete.
Yeah.
I am not for banning CBD. Because anything that we do that makes us be extra punitive just means more Black people are going to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. You can throw about racial people in there. You can throw brown people in there. I don't care how you label it. I don't care what hill you die on in defining Blackness right now. Like, I don't care. You know what we mean. Like, you know who we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like I said, if you have privilege, it is your job to speak up every time. That is what this is. But yeah, I'm just concerned about the automatic default for some people to be more punitive, because that's just going to, again, harm more Black people, harm more Black athletes who are in pain, quite frankly. And this is a fairly natural way to alleviate that pain. And yeah. Make your money, get your advertising dollars. But yeah, you got to help counteract that. And I would say, ultimately, you want to direct your anger at the IOC, which Black people, particularly Black women, and marginalized genders were telling you weeks ago when this happened to Sha'Carri, and y'all were just like, she didn't follow the rules. Right, so right. We told you the rules were racist. And I stand by that, and we have been proven right.
So I will say, though, Megan Rapinoe did say something, but you got to keep in mind, the IOC has been banning people left and right, threatening if you protest, you ain't playing.
Yeah, which is another issue.
All kind of crazy stuff on an ableist, racist, sexist, crazy, just problematic situation. And so you got to keep in mind who you also got to get mad is whoever dropped this article, they had no thought process that Baker Pito's happy to go off and go hard in the paint and talk about stuff. And she did it prior to the IOC wilding out. And like they dropped this in the middle of the Olympics. Megan Rapinoe can't say too much.
Yeah, and no athlete game. Participating can. And so I definitely understand that, but it's also gonna be there waiting for her when she gets out. So
right.
What you do with that is I don't put on capes like that. So but yeah, I mean, I think she's probably aware enough to know that she's gotta continue to speak out against that stuff. And you got to cut checks to people who are counteracting the systematic systemic injustice. I think ultimately, though, the culprit is the IOC, which is riddled with many issues. Like you said, ableist, sexist, racist, all sorts of things. So that was that. And we thought that would be the biggest thing of the week. And no. We kept going. NWSL. So... after listening to fans, which doesn't feel like happened, the league decided to start a partnership, a year-long partnership with RISE to do educational courses around diversity, equity, and social justice. This is the opposite of what people ask for. It's not even surface, it feels like. So if you look up RISE, the company that the NWSL is partnered with, and you can go on their website under the news section, and it's right there. It's the first article at the moment. If you look at the board, just in pictures, it's as white as clouds on a sunny day. And then if you look at the list of names, it's the commissioner of every other league who doesn't do this stuff well. So I know like Goodell's on it, Bettman's on it, like just people who don't do well, Manfred's on it. Like, why are those the people you would look to try to combat racism, sexism, all these other things? Another red flag, anybody who tells you they can do DEI work in a year is lying to you. They are just taking your money. So there's that. It's a bad look, and I mean, the fans instantly went in on it. And yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm just like, I don't think you listen to the Players Association, though they had to make, I know Toy Houston had to make a statement, sort of just sounded like, yeah, yay, this is happening. It doesn't sound like they had a lot of input. You certainly didn't listen to the Black Women's Players Collective.
Did they talk to them?
Doesn't sound like it. I don't think that's who you would choose if you were listening to them at all. So yeah, it's just, I'm tired. Like I don't know what else to do. This is genuinely the opposite of everything that people were asking for, who are genuinely trying to do the work, imperfect though it may be. And the league just seems to be, seems like a money grab, quite frankly. It seems like a lot of people tied to sports and a lot of people who can profit off of a year-long contract. That's what it seems like. I mean, you are free to weigh in, but I am, I'm over it.
So what was I couldn't believe they picked this company, particularly if they were supposed to be working with WNBA. This means Lisa Barton didn't reach out to the commissioner, who's another white woman of the WNBA.
Who is not on the board, I believe. So,
and she's not on the board. So that's problem one. Problem two is it did sound in the statement that they really talked to the NWSL Players Association. Like it kind of seemed like it was popped upon them. They're like, okay. But more importantly, you have a whole Black Women's Players Collective that I guarantee you did not have a conversation with. And what bothers me with this is that you made a decision like this in the concept of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and you didn't reach out to any offshoots of an organization that's associated to get perspective to see if this was a good idea. And so this means you don't take them seriously. And I figured y'all didn't take them seriously, but this really made me mad because it's like, they don't have no support.
No.
And it's like,
I don't.
What are you doing as an organization that you that trifling? Because you're also in Chicago. And it also means you didn't reach out to legitimate diversity, equity, inclusion entities to help you see that this was a bad idea. And so it's like, we just gonna wipe people our way through stuff and like tap dance.
Yeah, it's a really bad and tone deaf.
And then it's only for a year.
Right, which again, you can't actually do any of this work in a year. Like, that's not how it works. So again, I don't think they did any research. I think this is all about money and keeping it in-house and trying to show that you did something, never mind the quality of that work. So this is the equivalent of writing a paper 10 minutes before class. Like, that's pretty much what this feels like. Staying on that tip, I'll hop back into the league in just a second. Just real quick. So with this announcement, right, the league was wide open, and rightfully so, for criticism. But it feels like, and I'm Black in America. I got 2 Black parents, 4 Black grandparents, 8 Black great grandparents. We can go down the family tree if you want. I know I'm light, but that ain't the problem.
You gonna do it? Go ahead and do it.
It seems like, for some people, both in this country and not in this country, that dunking on anti-Blackness in particular, right? There's racism here that's not solely directed at Black people, but it feels like it begins there, right? Mm-hmm. And anti-Blackness is global currency, right? The quickest way to get closer to whiteness is to be anti-Black. But it feels like some of y'all are dunking just to dunk, mm-hmm. right? To dunk on America, to dunk on American soccer, because you don't actually think we do soccer well.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't actually seem to care about what's happening to Black players. Again, I don't really care who you choose to let in or gatekeep the Blackness right now. Like, that, we're not even there with American soccer right now. So it's especially odd when people from nations that have colonized, nations that are also particularly white, are overwhelmingly white, and soccer nations that have fewer financial barriers and still have teams that are whiter than ours, which is really hard to do.
Come on now.
Are dunking on the United States. And damn it, I hate sounding any kind of patriotic. You know that. But like, it doesn't feel right in my spirit. It feels like anti-Blackness just calling out other anti-Blackness. Because it's more noticeable, right? Like, America tends to go big no matter what. So it's very easily, and it is buffoonery. It is clownish. Like, the NWSL deserves all the heat, all the smoke, all the criticism. Yes. I just want y'all to know, I peep, it's not all about the NWSL. And as this team, and as we've seen in this Olympics, it's got to. As this team gets blacker and browner, I have a feeling a whole lot of people who were down for the cause gonna start calling this team names when they start winning.
Woo!
They
gonna make up new words.
Because the truth of the matter is, right, we see it now in men's soccer. Like, and y'all not gonna convince me that that's not gonna show up in women's soccer. You're not gonna convince me that, one, that you're thinking in a binary anyway, but like, you're not gonna convince me that just because it's women, they're not less racist. Because as a Black woman in this country, I could tell you that's absolutely not true. So it's going to spill over into women's soccer because it's systemic. It doesn't matter where the source is. So call it out, absolutely. Just make sure your porch is clean too.
Come on now.
So that's that on that. You were free to ask me to elaborate on the internet. I'm tired today, so I ain't really there to do that. Back to the league, though. Another movement started this week from the players called No More Side Hustles.
Come on now.
This stems from the fact that many of the NWSL players have to work two, or at least one other job, sometimes two other jobs, in addition to training and playing and traveling, which is still a coach class travel, by the way. It's not like they are traveling any different than you or I would, from one city to the other. But y'all are playing with the livelihoods of these people, these players, right? We talked about the North Carolina Kansas City trade this week, and both Amy Rodriguez and Kristen Hamilton mentioned they had like 24 hours to pack up and move. And again, they don't make a lot of money, so like that's not a cheap thing. People who've had to move know it's an expensive undertaking. I believe Chris Hamilton had bought a house in North Carolina. Like it's,
yeah,
and has no say, right? And so now has to adapt if she wants to continue to play the game that she loves, right? Amy Rodriguez has sons. They were probably in school, right? Like, I guess the upside is that it's not the school year right now, but like you're asking people again to pick up their lives in 24 hours and move when the maximum salary in this league is $52,000 a year.
Yeah.
I work in higher education. Most people make more than that.
You got people even making $22,000.
Yeah, that's the maximum, by the way. $52,000 is the maximum. I believe the basement is like, I think they moved it up to like $30,000.
Yeah.
That's entry level. That's not even a degree. Like you can get a job that makes that much without a degree, I'm pretty sure, depending on what you go into. Yes. And on top of that, you had an actual player in Bella Bixby who had to tweet about the lights. They have, again, Portland. She's a goalkeeper for Portland while Adriana French is at the Olympics. And she has sensory issues. And she's very honest and vulnerable about that on the internet, but she had to cover her head with a towel while the lights were going off in the stadium. And I was thinking about this anyway, because I know Louisville does it as well, but like people have sensory issues. People have seizures with those kind of lights.
Right.
It's a health concern, right? And in order to incorporate to do universal design and be inclusive, you try not to trigger people's senses. So that's visual and for some people audio. But it would be the same with like smells and stuff, right? Like when I put on major events, we don't have scents because people are sensitive and it triggers stuff. You don't know what triggers what and how bad and severe it is. And so she was very vulnerable and people were really nasty about it. But there were also a lot of people who were like, yes, me too. And so she apologized today. I guess she felt like she didn't go through the right channels. I don't want to take anybody's autonomy away in that, but I also don't think she had to apologize. And quite frankly, with the track record of this league, her going through the proper channels probably wouldn't have gotten her the results that going on Twitter did. So the league's got to eat that and look at themselves. Like if she didn't go through the proper channels, it's probably because the channels suck. So, but yeah, I think, am I done? yeah, I think that's it. I'm gonna tap out. I'll let you jump in from there.
Oh yeah. So the last one of the library is this discussion in terms of elite athletes, particularly Black ones, taking care of their mental health.
Yeah.
So today, Simone Biles, this was a little few hours after the game. She ended up, I guess it was the U.S. women's final. They were in the gold medal round against
Russia. team competition. Yeah.
In team competition for gymnastics. And so everybody forgets on Sunday, I think it was Sunday, in qualifying, she kind of had some little hiccups, was a little off, but they qualified. But today she stopped after she did the vault because from a mental health standpoint, she didn't feel good about completing her forward, doing the team competition.
Yeah.
So what was frustrating is like the staff wasn't understanding this and was trying to make her go. But fortunately, she was able to just say no. USA ended up winning silver, but she had to look out for her mental health. And I don't think people understand when your mental health is important, and particularly the case of her being gymnastics, like she has to be solidly focused because it's not like a team sport. If your mental health's kind of messed up, you got other people carrying you. If her mental health's not good, she could kill herself. And so it's like, she has to be careful, not only for energy, but protect from harm and impacting, you know, herself. She's got to look out for herself, not only from her physical, but for her mental too. And so I say that because there was a lot of toxicity and anger because people were like, well, why did she do it? And all this. And it's like, she don't owe you nothing. Damn, yo, Osaka doesn't owe you anything. None of these players owe you anything when they tap out and they decide to take care of their mental, because mental health is super paramount. And a lot of these issues and arguments, I think, have to go because, one, you don't respect them as humans, because we have this issue in understanding Black humanity. But additionally, is this disconnect in understanding what it takes to be an elite individual, elite athlete. And like, you have to, it's a, when you're doing something, particularly when you may not get paid the money that you could, unless you're the best of the best of the best, and you are effectively, in the case of Simone Biles, you're the standard, right. And you're effectively carrying the team, or you're the one going to lead it all for your country, in the case of Naomi Osaka, or you're one of the best players, Black woman in the world, and you can go on and on and on. When you are the best of the best, you talking about a pressure cooker situation where, yo, the mind is a powerful place and it can be really, really crazy because you have to be at the top of your game. You got to have the basics right, the intermediates right, the advanced concepts right. You got to think and do things above and beyond a Call of Duty and then set yourself apart from everybody. And that's super elite mentality. It can freaking drive you crazy and insane. And you always have to have a means to protect yourself. At the same vein, as a Black woman, you also having to deal with the racism and foolishness that you have to be above and beyond a Call of Duty better than everybody else to even get seen.
Right.
So all the work that a Naomi Osaka, the Simone Biles, Crystal Dunn, Kristen Press, on and on and on have to do just to exist and be great. There's so much strain that gets put on your mental health because people aren't seeing your humanity. And so it was frustrating hearing people just like kind of blow it off, but it's like, she don't owe you nothing. None of these people owe you. And a lot of it is like, y'all don't get what it means to be elite because you be mediocre. You got a lot of mediocrity going on. Cause it's like my mentor tells me all the time when I complain about stuff, she's like, Sky, you had to be this much great because you're Black to get into space. And so you can see things and you'll be like, well, I expect this and this and this, because you have this crazy level of thinking. But you got to understand, sometimes you're going to have to set the precedent to get things done, because people have been existing and living and existing due to the structures. A lot of it due to white supremacy. And so you got to go beyond the Call of Duty. And so it can get frustrating because you did all this stuff and you still got to be extra great if things don't change. But then it can all blow up on you in a moment of pressure. And so you always got to take care of yourself in the process. And so I say all that to say, y'all got to get a better understanding of what it takes to be elite and respect people's mental health. Because y'all all about mental health stuff until it's not inconvenient for you, or you see somebody else going through some stuff and you don't see their humanity, which is shady as shit. But anyway, hope everybody takes care of themselves.
Yeah, protect your peace.
Protect your peace.
Protect your peace.
And don't be giving people no grief, and don't even be dealing with these people online either. But that's another discussion for another time.
Yeah, that's a whole different. There was some funny stuff though. Watching stuff happen in real time is hilarious. But yeah, that's what we got for today. And I know we're running long and people's attention spans are short because of these Olympics and having
to wait. You can pause and start over, but we almost done, y'all.
Yeah, so we about to hit it.
This hits and rips. Hits.
Okay.
And rips. Hits and rips. Who's going first?
I went first last week, so you got
that was
it.
Me. So in the hits and rips. Don't do that. So for the yesterday turn up, we got to rock your hips. I forgot that. It's Rock Your Hips by Crime Mob. Yo, they used to be in jail. What? Don't do that. You know that was it. What? It's look. I can't even remember the words.
See? All right.
Yeah, you rock it. You got the hips. That used to be my jam. That's how you be two-stepping. That's how you supposed to two-step. Okay. And then my yesterday quiet storm is Cherish. By Pebbles. Cherish the day.
Oh, Pebbles.
I know Pebbles is problematic, y'all.
A little bit.
But Pebbles, yeah. That's a favorite. All right, that's all.
All right. Okay. So my yesterday turn up is Get Me Home. Foxy Brown featuring Blackstreet. I'm a Lil' Kim person, but Ingrid spit on it. Yes, oh, baby, got to get you home
with me tonight.
Yeah, that's the one right there. So that's my old school turn up. And then my Quiet Storm, I went back and forth, but I went with Petty. When you think of me, Eric Benet. Wow. It's a little petty. That's a good album though. So yeah, those are my two. And then what do you have for this time period?
Sure. It's not really this time period. I mean, it's somewhere in the future.
Mine isn't either. So it's
okay. So my today turn up that ain't really today. It's okay. It's okay. It's all right, girl. It's okay. I can't say all the lyrics out here.
No.
Because anyway, but whatever. It's okay by Slim Calhoun featuring Andre 3000.
Yeah.
And then the Today Quiet Storm ain't really a quiet storm.
Wow.
I don't care. It's What a Job by Devin the Dude featuring Snoop Dogg and Andre 3000. I particularly like Andre 3000 verse.
Always.
Yeah. Talking about what a job it is. But anyway, that's my part.
Wow, wow, wow. I haven't heard Devin the Dude's name in a minute.
Let's go out here in the world.
Wow. Speaking of problematic, my turn up for the day. So randomly, I don't know who is playing it. I heard Bird Flu by MIA. I was like, damn, that's a good song. I know she says some wild stuff and then kind of went missing. Literally MIA, no pun.
Wow.
But then I listened to the whole album. I was like, Kala's such a good album. I'm real mad at her right now, but that album still goes. So my old school, all I have to say, my new school turn up is Bird Flu by MIA. It's not that new. And then my Quiet Storm is Peachtree Blues by Jazzbex featuring Janelle Monáe. It's a really good, like, jazzy standard, and they only made one album, but they've got some really good songs on there. So definitely check that out.
I see you out here.
Yeah.
I see you out here in the world.
Yeah.
Well then. So. Other than that, we don't got no rants. We ran it out.
No, yeah, I think, like I said, I'm tired of being mad. So I just want to end on a high note. We probably said this last week. I think it bears repeating this week. To Black people in general, to my Black Olympians, like, keep your head up. Protect your peace. Yes. You are elite. Don't let anybody else tell you differently.
Don't let nobody tell you different.
What choices you make. And y'all for damn sure can't come from Simone Biles, because y'all be losing your breath going up the stairs. Ain't no way in the world. So yeah, and I'm gonna go hard for those athletes, so calm down and let people live and let people take care of themselves. We're all surviving a trauma. We're getting ready to have to put our masks back on, because y'all know how to listen or wash yourself. Ooh, no, we gotta talk about that.
We're not talking about that this week.
Okay, we'll save it. I just wanted to shout that out.
Oh yeah, also like Simone, like y'all not keeping by. She also had to like effectively code switch her routine because they were trying to like misscore her moves because other people can't do it.
Yeah, underscore her stuff.
And it's like, you wouldn't do that for a white person. So why are we doing it for Simone?
Yeah.
Keep your head up, shawty. You do that thing.
Always. And she's given far definition. More. And she's given so much to gymnastics and not as a sport to try to take everything from her and her teammate. So screw USAG, quite frankly. Y'all never deserved her. And she's been saving you for a long time.
Right.
So I hope she lets you burn out in flames, but she don't want to take the young girls down with her. So yeah, that's that on that. But I think we can do our shout outs real quick.
Shout outs.
Yeah.
Can I kick it? What's good, Yogi?
Hey, my guy. Sorry, Jamaica lost, my guy.
Why you gotta bring that up on the podcast?
For the culture, I know you're rooting too. For the culture podcast.
Diaspora United, what's good, y'all? Night. What's it do?
Much love to Kai. I know you've had a week. Yeah. Not Tasha Kai. That was a day. That was a ride. Two Cents, the fam holding it down. They got a really good episode this week, even if it is with the Arsenal fan.
Ooh.
I know.
What an anger. Ooh.
I'm just saying, it was good. That's how you know it's good. I listened to it anyway. Cool. And then Protagonist.
What's good, y'all?
Yeah. So I mean, next week in theory, I guess we're talking more about the NWSL.
Yep.
And the Olympics.
Yeah, whatever happens. Hopefully the United States is still going.
We hope so.
Then, well, maybe some top 10 list or maybe some all-star or something. We don't know.
Yeah. But,
well, no matter what, there will always be some hits and rinse and rants and raves of the week.
Absolutely.
Oh, we're going to have a new segment. Because we tired of unseasoned chants. We gonna make a chant. We gonna make some chants, y'all.
We gonna work on it this week.
This will make sense next episode. But anyway, you know what time it is.
Yeah.
What we do? Who are we? What are we? What do we do?
Oh, so before y'all head out, stay hydrated.
Stay melanated.
Make sure the Black women in your life are celebrated.
And make sure the Shea Butter Bombs are always elevated.
All right. And have a great week. Get some rest because it's 4:30 or 4 and 7 o'clock on Friday.
We're gonna be all right.
All right. Peace out.